The Rambam wrote a number of things. The first thing that he wrote was his commentary on the Mishnah. He wrote it in Arabic. He wrote it when he was in his 20s. It's translated into Hebrew. It was translated by many different translators over different time periods. And therefore, that's why it's sometimes hard to analyze it and compare it to other sources, because it's not the Rambam's original language. That's true about most of the Rambam's writings. The Rambam wrote Mishneh Torah, that he wrote in Hebrew, but most of his writings, like the Mor Nevuchim, the Sefer HaMitzvos, but a lot of medical works, so a lot of those were written in Arabic. So this is his Sefer HaMitzvos. The Sefer HaMitzvos and our standard editions of Mishneh Torah appear in the beginning of Mishneh Torah, even though it was written in a different time period and it's not part of Mishneh Torah. It's called the Sefer HaMitzvos. So the Rambam counts the 613 mitzvos. It's actually interesting, this whole 613 mitzvos thing, because it's just a maimra in the end of Makos that says it. You know, Yabawu, I think it was, said, oh, the 613 mitzvos, the gematria. But that spawned this whole literature of trying to count the 613 mitzvos. There are many, many more than 613 mitzvos. But this was a genre of writing, was trying to enumerate the 613 mitzvos. So the Rambam's first mitzvah is a controversial mitzvah. It's not really controversial, but there was argument about it, so we'll call it controversial. Mitzvah achas. So again, this is a translation from the Arabic. Hish hatzivue asher tzivanu beheemonos elokus. Hashem commanded us to believe in God. V'hu shenamin sheyesham ila v'siba hu po'al l'chol nimtzoyim. V'hu omru anochi Hashem elokecha. The source is anochi Hashem elokecha. I am Hashem, your God. And it's to believe that there is a God in the world. And ila v'siba, there's a reason and a cause for everything. So the reason why it's controversial is because not all of the Monei mitzvos counted this as a mitzvah. Famously, the Bahag, and the Rambam actually writes, see, the Rambam in the beginning of Sefer Mitzvos wrote something called the Shorashim, which were his rules for what gets counted as a mitzvah and what doesn't get counted. He enumerates all the rules. So the Rambam writes there that the reason he's writing Sefer Mitzvos is because there's somebody out there who wrote a list of mitzvos, and he totally disagrees with the way this person did it. And that's the Bahag. And therefore, he writes his parish in order to argue with the Bahag. So the Bahag does not count this as a mitzvah, the mitzvah of believing in God. Now, does that mean that the Bahag didn't think you should believe in God? No, of course he thought you should believe in God. So how come the Bahag didn't count it? So the Ramban tries to defend the Bahag. A lot of people think that the Ramban agrees with the Bahag and argues with the Rambam, but the Ramban doesn't. The Ramban agrees with the Rambam. He's just trying to explain the position of the Bahag. And what's the position of the Bahag? The position of the Bahag perhaps could be that believing in God is not a mitzvah because it's a meta-mitzvah. Meaning, in order to... Imagine a policeman pulls you over and he tells you that you're speeding, and you say to the policeman, well, I don't believe in Congress. I don't think that the state legislature has the right to make speed limits. So that's why I'm speeding. I don't acknowledge the law because I don't trust, or I don't believe in the body that dictates the laws. So the Bahag might understand that you can't have a commandment to believe in God. Commandment assumes that there is somebody who has the right to command. So if you have a commandment to believe in God, is sort of circular. If I'm listing commandments, I believe in God. So we would call it a meta mitzvah, meaning it's something that comes before the mitzvahs. There are those who try to use this explanation. Whenever somebody leaves out a mitzvah, so that's always one direction people go in. They try to say, oh, maybe it's because it's a meta mitzvah. Like, for instance, exactly right. There's a famous dispute about whether living in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. So the Ramban has a cute list. I say cute because the way that he did it is that the Ramban said, I have a list of mitzvos that the Rambam forgot. Now, obviously the Rambam didn't forget, and the Ramban knows that the Rambam didn't forget it, but it's his like respectful way of saying the mitzvos that I argue with the Rambam about. So he says that the Rambam didn't count. The Pasuk tells us to go into the land to conquer it and to settle it. And yet the Rambam didn't count it as a mitzvah. Why not? So you might say, oh, because that was the Rambam only counts mitzvos that are ledoros. Maybe that was only mitzvah l'shah. Maybe it was only for people coming into the land. You know, there's different ways you could try to figure out. Maybe it's not an absolute mitzvah. It's something that's nice. It's a mila. It's not a mitzvah. But I believe it's the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer says, maybe the reason the Rambam didn't count it is because it's a meta mitzvah, going the other direction. It's not because it's not important. It's the opposite. It's so important. All right, there's a famous Ramban al-Torah where the Ramban says, that the mitzvos that we do in Chutz Laretz are practiced when we go to Eretz Yisrael. So if you look at it from that perspective, so living in Eretz Yisrael is not just a mitzvah, it is the meta mitzvah that opens up for you the ability to do them. By the way, the Ramban doesn't really mean that doing mitzvahs in Chutz Laretz are just practice. What he means is that every mitzvah is done more b'shleimus when it's done in Eretz Yisrael. But one could start to see that this idea of a meta mitzvah, that there's certain principles that come before the mitzvahs, that they're the premise that the mitzvahs are grounded upon. So that could be the reason why the Bahag argues with the Rambam. But l'maisa, the Rambam counts it as a mitzvah to believe in God. Now, many of the more philosophically oriented Rishonim and Achronim ask, very nice, Rambam, a mitzvah to believe in God. Well, what's the mitzvah? Which is a basic philosophic question, right? Believe that this is red. So, if I believe it's red, you don't have to give me a commandment. It's red. I don't have to, what, how do I fulfill the commandment? If I think it's red, it's red. And if I don't think it's red, so what am I going to do? Okay, I believe it's red. What do you mean? What color is this? It's brown. No, believe it's red. Okay, Rabbi, I believe it's red. But if you know that it's brown and it's not red, so that's what the Abarbanel asks on the Rambam. How can you have a mitzvah to believe in God? If you believe, you don't need a mitzvah. And if you don't believe, so you're going to command people that they have to believe in something? If they don't believe in it, how are they going to believe in it? Right? Like if I need to put on tefillin, so I put on the tefillin, and I put on the tefillin. But to believe something that I don't believe, how am I supposed to do that? So this is a problem, and this could be the reason why the Baha'i doesn't count it as a mitzvah. Maybe because it's an important concept to believe in God, but what's the mitzvah? Mitzvah means a commandment. What's the commandment? So those who try to defend the Rambam give different explanations. One explanation is that maybe you should do things that will engender a stronger belief in God. Meaning, maybe it means to go study philosophy, maybe it means to study Tanakh, maybe it means to put yourself in a context that's going to help you believe stronger, or to believe in God, or to ask questions, or to try to do research. That could be one explanation that a person can use for the Rambam. But that is something that the Rambam needs to overcome in order to explain what the mitzvah is. The Rambam begins the Mishnah Torah with the same, just like the first mitzvah that he counts is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So the Rambam also begins his whole Mishnah Torah with this as well. Yesod ha-yesodos ve'omur ha-chochma yudkei vavkei rashi tevos leido shiyesham matzvei rishon. It's to know. Now, there are those who point out that if the verb that's used in the Sefer Mitzvos is what? Ha-min, to believe. When you look over here in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam writes leida. So leida means to know. So if I asked you, is there a difference between believing and knowing? What would you say?
Yes.
Could be a big difference. What's the difference?
Knowing means
sure true, whereas believing is artificial.
Okay. That's one way to say it. Another way to say it is Leida means to do the research and to prove it to yourself and to know something, to have a conviction that something is, to be able to affirm something, to say that something, you know something to be true. Lahamin means I believe. You know, I believe in this, I believe in that. It's not necessarily something that's predicated on direct knowledge. I haven't necessarily... You could tell someone believe in God. He says, okay, fine, I believe in God. But that's very different than the sophisticated knowledge of someone who's analyzed it. So what is the Rambam demanding of us? Leida or Lahamin? Okay, good. We'll get there in a second. That's fancy. You ready? Before we get there, what would you say just historically based on the information I gave you earlier? I thought I was just throwing fun facts at you about the Rambam. But I was setting you up to be able to answer the question. If you have to choose between something that he writes in Mishnah Torah and something that you read in Sefer Mitzvot, which one would you more naturally tend to side with?
Mishnah Torah.
Mishnah Torah, why?
Second.
Besides that, what's the historical reason also?
Second.
He wrote it in Hebrew. So we know we're reading the Rambam's term. This is a Sefer Mitzvot, so it was written in Arabic, it was translated into Hebrew. So we don't know exactly which word the Rambam used. And in fact, there was a great Rav in Europe named Rav Chaim Heller. He actually came to America a little bit and he taught in NYU for a little bit before he passed away. And Rav Soloveitchik was a very, very big fan of Rav Chaim Heller and apparently used to quote him often. So Rav Chaim Heller studied many, many languages, I believe, and one of them was Arabic, medieval Arabic, and he retranslated the Sefer HaMitzvos from Arabic into Hebrew. And guess what? When you look in his translation, guess what it says in Sefer HaMitzvos? It doesn't say Lahamin. It says Leida. And in the footnote he says that if you look in the original Rambam manuscript in Arabic, the word that's used is Leida, not Lahamid. So if Rav Chaim Heller is correct, there is a consistency between Sefer Mitzvos and Mishneh Torah, the Rambam writes Leida. But does this mean that to believe doesn't have a role? So now, Mr. Markowitz, we can hear your ha'ara about both. So what were you going to say about both?
I think that there's two different things. If one has just the understanding the depth of Sefer Mitzvos and understanding the depth of Yom Chazakah, Sefer Mitzvos was the beginning, much more on the surface, Targum Mitzvos, and if you can master that, then you get the Yom Chazakah.
Ah, okay.
And then it continues.
Interesting. So what Ms. Markowitz is suggesting is that there's a progression here, that perhaps at a younger age or in the beginning of the process, a person will believe something, and later he'll come to knowledge. And it's an excellent point. And I'll quote to you from the Mabit, who wrote the Sefer, the Beis Elokim. The Mabit was a contemporary of Rav Yosef Karo, when actually in the 1500s they tried to reinstitute Smicha. So it was a failed, it didn't last for so long. But there were a few people who got Smicha, and one of them was the Mabit. He was in the Beis Din with Rav Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch. So the Mabit wrote a very important Sefer in Machshava called the Beis Elokim. So in that Sefer, he basically says what Mr. Markowitz just said, which is, he says there that everybody should try with their intellectual analysis to try to figure things out. But that's not how you start. He says because unless a person is very, very egotistical, every regular, normal person realizes that he's limited in how much he can understand. Certainly when we're talking about God. And therefore, we are always involved in something that we're never going to accomplish, which is we're trying to figure out God, and at the same time we realize that we're never going to really be able to figure him out completely. So some people say, okay, so be like a stoic and just sit there and say, we can't figure anything out, and let's just... But we believe that we're supposed to try as hard as we can to figure out God, even though the whole time we know we're never going to be able to figure him out. But as Rav Sajid Gaon writes in his Sefer Moelis V'Deos, that if Hashem gave us a mind that can consider that maybe we could figure out God, it must mean that he wants us to try to figure him out, or else why would he even give us the ability to think that we could do such a thing? So we try to figure out God, but we know we're not going to figure him out completely. So what happens when you fall, when you're trying to figure him out, you don't figure him out? So if you have nothing there, you fall into the abyss. So therefore the Mabit says the proper chinuch is as follows. You teach a child and you teach someone first to have a more blind faith. Emuna. To just have faith. Emuna. And if the child stays with that, then that's not good. Because as a child and as a person develops, they have to start using their mind that God gave them. God gave you your mind. It's not the Yetzer Hara. God gave it to you. You use your mind to try to figure out God. But you will stumble it sometimes. And when you do, you'll have your faith to fall back upon. And therefore, I agree that the interplay between Emunah and Yediyah is something that's very, very important. And there's nothing more appropriate for the Rambam to begin with than this idea of Emunah. I'm just going to make one last point, and we'll end with this source. That's why the pages go quickly, because we're just reading some of the basic lines here and there. The Rambam, in the next few halachas, if you'd like to, one of the things I believe in a lot with giving shiurim is introducing you to sources, but allowing you then to have the opportunity to look at them on your own. You're going to see in the morning, I'm going to quote a lot of things that you didn't necessarily get to in Seder, but I'd like you at night or when you have time to look into them more. So I put them here for you on the source sheet. The Rambam here also describes something that's just an important concept to know in Jewish medieval philosophy, and that's the idea that God is the Mechuyev HaMetzius. Mechuyev, he obligates or he forces the Metzius, the reality. And what does that mean? So the Rambam has the following cheshbon. And he says, this is part of believing in God. He says as follows. If God would cease to exist, then everything ceases to exist. But if everything ceases to exist, God doesn't cease to exist. That means that he is the Mechuyev of all of reality. His existence is needed for everything to exist, and if somehow the plug is pulled on God, then everything would cease to exist because he is the basis of everything. But acharei kichlos hakol, as we say, once everything's gone, livado yimloch nora, he'll still be around. His existence is not dependent on anything, and everything's existence is dependent upon him. So that cheshbin there is something that the Rambam, in the next few halachos, describes, and that's a principle called mechuyav hametzias, and the Rambam believes that that's a very important concept for a person to understand when thinking about God. And it could be a little bit of what we're supposed to have a kavana for when we say the name of Yudkei Vavkei. Shulchan Aruch brings down, there's a discussion, when you say Yudkei Vavkei, what are you supposed to have in mind for? So the basic pshat is, right, there's a question, because we don't say Yudkei Vavkei, hopefully, right? We say the shame of Adnos, Adonai, we say. We don't say pronounce Yudkei Vavkei. So which kavana are you supposed to have? Adonai means my master. But that's not what Yudkei Vavkei means. Yudkei Vavkei means past, present, and future. That his existence is transcendent beyond everything. He existed before everything existed, and he will continue to exist when everything ceases to exist. So it's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch, Machlokes Shulchan Aruch and the Gra, what you're supposed to think about when you say the shame of Yudkei Vavkei. For those of us who want to like have kavanas, special kavanas when we daven, do you think of God as my master, or do you think of him as this being that transcends everything? But everyone agrees that's what Yudkei Vavkei means, and that is this idea of Mechuyav HaMetzius, that God's existence is not dependent on anything. But everything's existence is dependent upon him. All right, have a good night. I'll see everybody in the morning.